Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
Good morning. What a beautiful sunny day in northern Colorado. I'm looking out the offices of my home, a window of my home studio, and the sun is bright. A little cooler. You know, we had some unseasonably warm weather, but it's cooling down. It's going to change things. Fishing's going to change. We're still going to have open water on the Front Range. Chad LaChance will join us later in the hour. We'll talk about that. We're going to have a lot of hunting going on. We're going to get hunting updates on waterfowl and pheasants from both the northeast and southeast sections of Colorado. And we're going to talk some ice fishing today. And let's just get right into it. Let's go right to the phones. And joining us, oh, by the way, we have a short show today. We're only on for an hour. We'll be back the full 2 hours tomorrow. But joining us on the phones from Jack's Outdoor Gear is Dave Gross. Good morning, Dave.
Hi, Terry. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great, you know, and you look outside, you see the sun, but my thermometer said it was only 20 last night, and even though the temperatures will be in the 40s during the day, they don't hit that for very long, especially as you get up in elevation. And I know you and I talked earlier, and there's some people already hiking in and ice fishing some of the higher lakes, but it's not going to be long before we see ice at places like Red Feathers, North Michigan, Lake John. In fact, I'm going to be taking some trips this weekend and checking some of those. And I think we'll find out that we'll be on pace not that long after. Well, we'll start getting some Front Range ice in just a matter of a few weeks around the holidays. But it seems to always come whether we think it is or not, doesn't it, Dave?
It does. Yeah, I sure hope it comes soon. I'm ready for it.
Well, I am too. I took all my open water fishing gear out of my truck. They're shrink wrapping my boat. And I put my ice fishing gear is actually in my truck, my shelter, my auger, I got a bunch of rods, tackle. I will tell you one thing. This is going to be an interesting year. You know, you as well as anybody at Jack's know that we've seen an enormous amount of people getting back into the outdoors after a long time or going out for the first time. And they're doing a variety of activities. And I think ice fishing is going to be among those. I'm looking to see probably a bunch of new ice anglers out this year. Do you think that's what we'll see?
I don't think we'll see as many as we saw during the summer, new anglers. But, yeah, we'll still have new anglers out and about.
And ice fishing, go ahead.
Especially with things that they might be shutting more stuff down.
Yeah, it's a good, you know, ice fishing is a great way to socially distance and still have fun. And you can even go with a group. Because you're not together in a boat or anything. But whether you're an experienced ice fisherman or whether you're a new ice angler, there's some, you know, basic gear you have to have. And over the next few weeks, we're going to cover a lot of that. But today we wanted to talk about a few things and that people can get right there at the Jack's store. And one that we've talked about a lot is the Spud Bar. Nate Zielinski and I both have done videos on them. You can go to my YouTube channel, The Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom, and there's a video where I'm fishing North Michigan, and I show you how to use electronics, but I take you through using a Spud Bar. And I know you believe this. A Spud Bar is just crucial for checking, especially early ice, isn't it?
Yeah, a Spud Bar is a must-have. It's a great way to be safe, check the ice. It's always changing. It can be one thickness, and 10 feet later it can be a different thickness.
Oh, you're absolutely right, especially down here in the Front Range where it freezes and thaws. But even up in the altitudes where you get springs and current flows that eat away at the ice, you get snow. So you sell Spud Bars at Jack's. What does a Spud Bar typically cost? Do you know, Dave?
The big ones, the ones that you need to be really using to check the ice, are about $45.
But, you know, it's a lifetime investment and a life-saving investment, so they're a great thing to start. You know, the first thing you need when you go and get out on the ice is a way to make a hole, and I know we're going to talk about the different augers that are out there, but early ice, that Spud Bar can be all you need, even just to make your fishing hole, right?
You sure can.
I mean, a lot of times I'll chisel, you know, check the ice on my way, and I'll get out, and I'll just take that Spud Bar and then chisel out maybe a 6 or 8 inch hole and fish right there. So one of the biggest mistakes I think people make ice fishing is they try to take too much gear, or they don't have a good way to haul it. And even with today's modern electronics, you need to keep moving until you find fish. And when people don't have a good way to make a hole, or they have too much weight with them, they get all set up, they tend to fish in one spot and they don't move around until they find the fish. And speaking of making a hole, you guys have a selection of augers. The first thing a new ice angler needs to do when he gets out on the ice, he needs a hole. Now, you can go with friends, and sometimes if you're lucky, you can go to places where there's a lot of ice anglers and find an abandoned hole. But you really need a way, and the what's available for augers has really changed, hasn't it?
It is. There's hand augers, there's gas augers, propane augers, and electric augers. And then there's also augers that you can attach to a quality drill that you already own.
Yeah, they've come so far, and they're so light and reliable. Let's talk first about hand augers. Early in the season, I don't even take a power auger. I take a 6-inch hand auger. What size hand augers do you guys stock at Jack's?
Yeah, we've got the Eskimo 6-inch and 8-inch, $50 to $60.
Yeah, and that's an easy way to get started. The one key with hand augers is keep the blades sharp. And what I always tell people, if the blades get dull, you're better off putting new blades on and have a professional sharpen them, because they're such a bevel, the way they catch the ice, that if that gets off. But a sharp hand auger on early ice actually will cut just as fast as a power auger, because you're only going through maybe 4 or 5 inches of ice, and it's just a few turns and you're through. But and I prefer, starting out with a 6-inch. I know you go with smaller augers too, don't you?
I do. Yep, I use a lot of 6 and 8-inch.
And that's what I do too. And we'll get to the 8-inch and the power augers. The difference between a 6-inch hand auger and an 8-inch hand auger is really it's twice the amount of ice, even though it's only a 2-inch bigger hole. It's twice the ice surface. And for most front range fishing, and a lot of the mountain fishing even, a 6-inch hole is plenty, and it'll get you through the ice quick. And you can bring, if you can't get it to a 6 or 8-inch hole, you probably weren't going to land it anyway. I mean, I'm just kidding, but there aren't many fish that big. Let's say I've got a good hand auger, or I want to start with an all-around power auger because I'm going to go up into the mountains, and I'm not only going to fish the lower elevations, but when I get up and there's a foot or 2 feet of ice at times or more, I want to be able to cut several holes, and that can get a little fatiguing with a power auger. What are my choices? You mentioned you have gas, propane, electric. Before we get to the electric, how far are the gas and propane? Have they gotten so much better?
Propane has. Gas is really about the same as it's been for 15 years.
Now, when you get a propane one, do you get one of those small tanks on it? Do you hook it to a big tank?
With the propane, you just hook your can of Coleman fuel onto it, and you're ready to go. And it lasts an amazing amount of time. You'd be surprised how long that can of Coleman fuel will last.
And now you're not mixing gas and oil, and you don't have that smell or leakage of stuff getting in your truck with propane that you could have with gas. So I really like that idea. Are the propane ones lighter than the gas augers?
They're about the same, except for the Rocket. And there might be some other brands that have come out with some lighter stuff. Eskimo came out with the Rocket a couple years ago, and it's about 30% lighter than most of them. But I'm sure there's some other ones out there that are pretty lightweight now.
What are we looking at for the price of a propane auger?
Propane is going to start about $475, $480. Gas start around $330.
Okay, so the propane's a little more expensive, but I think probably worth it. But I think the biggest innovation in the last few years has been the electric augers, and there's variations. I know you use one called an Ion. You guys carry that at Jack's. Tell me about that Ion auger.
So the Ions, there's three different models, starting with the 3-amp. That is $450, comes with the battery, and then you jump up to the 5-amp, So longer battery life. That's going to jump up to, I think, mid-500s. And then there's the G2, which came out last year. It's got a heavy-duty plastic-type auger. Still got the metal frame, metal blades, but only about 17 pounds. So super, super lightweight. It's got a 6-amp battery, so that battery goes forever. You could drill for 2 days with that without having to worry about charging it.
Well, that's, 17 pounds, that's no weight at all. And then the fact you said you could get probably 2 days of drilling holes on one charge. I mean, and now you don't have to worry about, is it going to start like you would with propane or gas? You just push the button. As long as you keep the battery charged and keep them sharp. There's just so many. And then there's also, people want, there's even attachments you can put on electric drills, right?
Correct. Yep. There's adapters, so you can use your hand auger. And then there's also augers that you can put your drill on.
So you've got lots of options when people come into Jack's to find out about making a hole. You could start out. The thing is, people can start out with a 6 or 8 inch, I'd say a 6-inch hand auger. And then as they find themselves getting into it, you're still going to want to keep that hand auger for some cases and then invest in a good power auger. Because if you get fanatic about it, there are days when I'm on the ice when, the electronics have gotten better, so you don't move quite as much. But there's days when I'll drill 50 or 100 holes. I'll bet you've done the same thing.
Yep. Drill a lot of holes some days.
Well, people would never go to the same spot in open water and cast to the same spot over and over again if they weren't catching a fish. But they'll go to a hole in the ice and sit there all day, and if they're not catching them, they just say they're not biting. Now, we're going to talk more about that over the next few weeks, about how you know if the fish are there, how you get them to respond, how you change your presentations. But, a lot of times it's just like being on open water, whether you're in a boat or on the shore. If you're not catching fish after a short while, sometimes you're better off to move. And if you don't have a good way to cut a hole, you won't do that. The last thing I want to talk to you about, if I'm a beginning ice auger and I come into Jack's, can you help me with, do I need to buy like hundreds of dollars worth of jigs and bait? Or can you recommend a few things that you can get me started with?
Oh, you can get started really easy for around $100 if you've already got tackle, because a lot of your jigs and spoons that you already have for open water are going to work during ice fishing. You might already have a sled at home to pull stuff with if you want to make that easier to carry your stuff, or you can purchase a sled that's made for ice fishing, more heavy duty, higher edges, so it doesn't tip over. So it's pretty easy to get into.
And then what about a selection of baits and tackle? Do I have to spend a lot on that, or can I get just a few things to get started?
Just a few things. Ratzos, rat finks. You just put a little bit of bait on them. They're inexpensive. You're going to catch most of your front range panfish and trout with that. So really simple. And then you've got your different spoons, rattle spoons. That starts to get a little more expensive, $3 range. You don't need a bunch of $10, $20 lures or anything like that.
You mentioned two presentations, a small jig like the Ratzo or Ratfink, and then a spoon. I love the Northland spoons, and I love Swedish Pimples. Those are two spoons I use a lot, the Buckshot Rattle Spoon. And a lot of times I'll tell people, buy a second rod stamp if you're going to ice fish. Put one down like that Ratfinky with a little bit of bait on it, and maybe just every now and then have it in a rod holder and just reach over and twitch it so it gets a little action. But then work that spoon in a hole next to it. A lot of times fish will come in and see the spoon. Sometimes they'll hit it, but a lot of times they'll get attracted to it, but they won't hit it, but then they'll hit the little jig. So really you get a couple setups like you said, and they're all set up, and I assume you can supply them with bait too, right?
Yes, we have wax worms, mealworms, baby night crawlers, large night crawlers, minnows. When it starts to get a little more busy, we'll have spikes also. We usually wait a little bit longer because those don't last as long.
And spikes are kind of like a maggot or whatever, and they're really effective for ice, for ice fishing. Yeah. Well, they're probably the best. Dave, we're out of time, but if people come in, I know what you guys will do at any of the Jack's stores. Now, you're at the Jack's here in Loveland. You're working
Fort
today,
Collins.
But if people – Fort Collins, I'm sorry. I knew that. If people come into any of the Jack stores, somebody's going to take the time and help them get started right, and they should get out because ice fishing is a lot of fun, isn't it?
It is. I love it. My kids love it, so it's a good way for all of us to get out together and have fun.
All right. Thank you, Dave, for joining us, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you again soon. I'll probably be in the store looking around at stuff soon.
All right. Thanks, Terry. Have a good day.
You bet. That was Dave, Jack's Outdoors. Terry Wickstrom Outdoors is brought to you in part by Jack's Outdoor Gear on 104.3 The Fan.